Chapter 17. On the way back to the community center, Lexi remembered her promise to Jack. They'd done a lot of investigating that afternoon, and she'd promised to keep him apprised. "It's still early. Why don't we stop in and share what we've learned with Jack?" Lexi suggested. The ladies were all over that, of course. They never passed up an opportunity to snoop around inside law enforcement's headquarters. "Yeah, maybe we can get some insider information," Ruth said. "Something Jack didn't even tell Lexi," Ida suggested. "Ruth could hypnotize him and get him to tell some secret info on the case." "I don't think we need to stoop to that," Nan said. "Jack is usually pretty good with sharing. We just need to do our part and fill him in on what we have learned." It was a quiet day on the crime front, apparently. The front lobby was empty, and even the receptionist looked bored. She waved them back to see Jack without hesitation. There wasn't much crime in Brookridge Falls, aside from the dead bodies Lexi stumbled onto every so often. Jack was in his office, staring at a stack of files on his desk. His handsome face lit up when Lexi stuck her head inside. "Hey, honey," Jack said, getting up and walking over to give her a kiss on the cheek. "To what do I owe this pleasure?" Lexi moved aside so the ladies could file into his small office, then closed the door behind them. Jack's brows rose at the four ladies all lined up on one side of his office, all wearing their serious detective faces. He leaned his hip against the desk, his lips quirked in amusement. "Ladies, I assume you have something for me."
Nance nodded. "We've been out talking to people about Mary Archer's death, and we thought we'd stop in and share what we've found out with you."
"Perfect."
Jack walked back behind his old metal desk, took a seat, and leaned forward, resting his elbows on the pen-marked surface.
"Lay it on me, ladies."
Nance relayed everything they'd learned so far. The fact that the book was missing from the safe, the tip they'd gotten from Rena concerning Howard lying about where he was, and his argument with Lorelei. The odd way Lorelei had acted, and finally their reenactment earlier that day.
"So you see, Howard lied about being in the poker game. I'm sure he knew exactly where he was when Lexi made that announcement. I mean, who wouldn't remember exactly where they were when finding out something like that?"
"Yeah, I figured that out too," Jack said.
"And the missing book is suspicious. The killer likely has that key."
Nance turned to Jack.
"Or have you found it?"
"Nope. We didn't find anything in the pies."
Ida sighed at the mention of the pies. Jack turned to Lexi.
"Everyone did say they looked delicious, if that's any comfort, and perfectly cool despite how hot the air is outside. They would have been perfect for the contest."
"We just came from Lorelei Summers's shop," Ruth added, "and I think she knows something. She said she was in front helping Sylvia with the bibs when the announcement was made. If that's true, I don't think she could have done it, according to the timing in our walkthrough. She wouldn't be able to go from the hallway to the front door without being seen by one of us."
"I'll make a note to talk to Sylvia and verify that."
Jack scribbled something down on a pad of paper.
"And I'm still very suspicious of Chandler Bennington," Nan said.
"Nope."
Jack's chair squeaked as he leaned back.
"No dice there. Sorry, Mona. We've cleared Chandler already. He has debilitating arthritis in his joints, including his fingers. There's no way he could have held that trophy, let alone produced enough force to hit Mary over the head with it hard enough to kill her. I saw his hands. They're so gnarled, he can't even straighten his fingers." Must be hard to write with gnarled hands, Ruth said. Not to mention sign books, Nance added.
Guess that explains why he kept them hidden all the time, Lexi said. Now that I remember, he always had them in his pockets. I guess that was because he didn't want anyone to see them.
Yep, Jack sighed. He said he didn't want anyone to know about his condition because he was afraid it would negatively impact people's perceptions of him as a writer. He's afraid that if people think no more books are coming, sales will dry up.
I feel sorry for the guy now, Ida said. All heads swiveled to look at her.
Ida wasn't usually the type to feel sorry for people.
But that still doesn't explain why he was so interested in Mary's book.
We asked him about that, too, Jack said. Bennington claimed he wanted to see one of his signed copies again, since he can't sign books anymore.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Lexi reluctantly crossed Chandler Bennington off her suspect list. Now she felt sorry for him, too.
And that's why he argued with Lorelai and refused to sign the books in her shop. It wasn't that he didn't want to. He couldn't. Oh, and I also reviewed the bartender's testimony. He was able to confirm that Chandler sat at the bar the whole time, Jack said. So, I'm sorry to say that it wasn't him.
See? Ida's voice had that "I told you so" tone to it. Like I said, right off the bat, it's usually the husband. I knew it was Howard.
At dinner the other night, Lexi mentioned the gift Howard Archer was seen carrying around. So I did some checking on that.
Jack riffled through his notes.
Lexi's heart swelled. He'd taken her clues seriously this time and actually acted on them. If that wasn't true love, she didn't know what was.
Turns out, Howard had purchased a pair of emerald earrings at the local jewelry store.
Emeralds, eh? Helen frowned. Was Mary wearing them when you found her, Lexi?
Lexi thought back to that day in the pie room.
I don't think so. I'm not sure I noticed.
Dang, she should be more observant about things like that. Lexi glanced at Jack.
That's right, she was wearing gold hoops, Jack said.
Well, that makes no sense at all, Helen said. If my man gave me an expensive gift like that, I'd open it right away and wear it for everyone to see, especially if it came in a tiny box from the jewelry store.
Me too, Ruth said. When Nuncio used to give me jewelry, I'd rip it open right in the restaurant and put it on right away. It's kind of rude not to.
Agreed, Nan said. Which means Mary most likely never opened that gift.
Or it was never meant for her. My suspicion is that Howard bought those earrings for someone else,
Jack said, sitting back again to clasp his hands behind his head.
The question is, who?
Sylvia did hint that Howard and Mary didn't get along, Lexi said.
Well, if Howard is the killer, we're back to square one,
Nan said.
That would mean Mary's death had nothing to do with that book, and she died because Howard wanted to get rid of her.
A crime of passion, Ida said, her voice brimming with excitement. Helen and Ruth both rolled their eyes.
There was something else Sylvia mentioned, Nan said. That Howard had purchased an insurance policy from Dottie Smith's son. Maybe he had a double motive for wanting Mary dead.
Jack made another note.
I'll follow up on that.
Perfect. Nan stood and headed for the door with the rest of the ladies in tow.
We'll just head back to my apartment for tea then.